Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Alan Grayson, who represented Florida's 8th Congressional District in the U.S. Congress until 2011. As a congressman, Alan Grayson received significant attention for his strong stance on ending the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and holding politicians and bankers accountable. He authored the Grayson-Himes Pay for Performance Act, which placed limits on bonuses paid to executives of banks that had received federal bailout money. Recently, he has been asking voters nationwide to sign a petition at no-cuts.com demanding that there be no cuts to Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. You can sign up at no-cuts.com. Welcome to Background Briefing, Alan Grayson.
Thank you.
And the music introducing her, the lunatic fringe, was a suggestion that the lunatics have taken over the asylum. I frankly, Congressman, find it absolutely astounding that somehow the Democrats, and perhaps the problem is that the press is biased in favor of the Republicans. But why isn't it clear that what's going on in Washington is an economic hostage crisis that has the president being whipsawed by Republican walkouts and blackmail to extract concessions by threatening to crash the economy?
Well, I think it's clear to the public. I think the polling reflects that the public overwhelmingly is opposed to cuts in Medicare, Social Security, or Medicaid benefits. In order to get past this artificial crisis, it's Naomi Klein's shock doctrine come to life once again. The right wing is trying to force on us cuts that we'd never agree to under any rational circumstances by fomenting an artificial crisis.
So why from the beginning then did the president tie the economy to this phony issue of the debt?
Well, you know, the president has his point of view. Other people have their point of view. The fact is that Social Security and Medicare are the only parts of the government that actually run at a profit. You won't see the military running a bake sale anytime soon in order to raise funds. But Social Security and Medicare consistently, over the course of generations, have brought in more money than they've spent, to the tune of over $2 trillion in the case of Social Security alone. Social Security has run at a profit for, 70-plus years in a row? And yet the wailing from the right is that we somehow have to cut these programs in order to remain solvent, when in fact the problem is obviously elsewhere. We spent $157 billion last year on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The number of wars since then has gone up by 50%. In addition to that, we gave back $90 billion last year and another almost $100 billion this year by extending the Bush tax cuts for the rich. If you were at all serious about trying to save $2 trillion over the course of the next 10 years, that's where you would look first. But in fact, those aren't the real problems that face us. The real problems that face us is that we've got 23 million Americans right now who can't find full-time work, which actually is a larger number than the number of unemployed Americans during the Great Depression. We have 50 million Americans, according to the CDC, who cannot see a doctor when they're sick because they have no health coverage. And we have 15 million American families who owe more on their mortgage than the value of their property. They're underwater, as the saying goes, and they feel like they're drowning. Those are the real problems that Congress should be facing right now and trying to solve, not this artificial debt crisis, which involves some kind of preoccupation verging on an obsession over what the deficit might or might not be in the year 2021.
But Congressman, you're running again for the seat in Central Florida in 2012. And in 2008, 140 million Americans voted. In 2010, 2 years later, only 75 million voted. The people that you just referred to who don't have health care and who are being abandoned in this country, the point is, they've got to be inspired to vote, surely. I mean, you lost your seat because the same people that voted for you the first time didn't show up 2 years later.
Right. It wasn't just a random sample of those 140 million who didn't vote. The Republican turnout in my district and all through Florida was just short of what the Republican turnout was 2 years earlier in 2008. The Democratic turnout was almost down by half. The Republican turnout was in the mid-60s. The Democratic turnout was in the low 40s. So it's the Democrats who stayed home in 2010 because I guess many of them felt that they hadn't seen change and they were out of hope. And I understand that. But the fact remains that if you don't vote, then you don't count. And the people who are facing these crushing blows in terms of federal benefits are the very people who in many cases didn't bother to vote. And if Democrats don't vote, then Democrats can't win. In 2008, I got more votes than any other candidate in the history of Central Florida. And in 2010, I lost by 18 points. And it wasn't me. I mean, it wasn't me that led all these people to decide not to vote all through Florida, and not just in Florida, but in Oklahoma, in Michigan, in Ohio. We lost 5 seats in Illinois, 4 seats in Ohio. You know, all over the country except for New England and California, Democrats just didn't show up. So we ended up with this arch right-wing extremist House of Representatives majority because people like me were replaced by people like Ellen West. That's the kind of government you get. And, you know, as Ed Koch said after his last election, the people have voted and now they'll be punished for it. And that's what we've seen.
Right. Well, but the country's getting punished. I mean, the idea that they're threatening to pull the whole house down. Again, I'm speaking with Congressman Alan Grayson, who has a nationwide petition at no-cuts.com demanding there be no cuts in Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And of course, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you're a very wealthy man, so you're actually calling for you want to have your taxes cut. I take it. But tell me about, because you were in the Congress, my understanding that these meetings where the president gets whipsawed and Cantor walks out and then Boehner walks out, my understanding that Cantor is a very combative representative of the Tea Party, and he was apparently quite disrespectful to President Obama, which is the Tea Party are obviously in public incredibly disrespectful. They call him a Muslim terrorist without a birth certificate, etc. So, has this reached that level of acrimony? Because the problem that I see the president has is that he can't really call their bluff, and they apparently are pretty crazy. They're acting crazy, at least. That if they brought the whole house down, he'd be stuck with a devastated economy to run on in 2012, and presumably you'd be also running on this devastated economy. So walk me through those steps.
You know, I think that it's a trap to fall into the idea that somehow it's a function of personalities. It goes a lot deeper than that. I don't think that we should be thinking too much about whether the president and John Boehner have a good round of golf together. What we should be thinking about is the fact that without Medicare, there's a lot of old sick people who are going to die. Without Medicaid, there's a lot of poor sick people who are going to die. Without Social Security, many people are going to have to work until the day that they die. That's way, way more important to me than anything regarding the personal interactions between Eric Cantor, who's a tool, by the way, a tool of Wall Street and other special interests, and the President of the United States. It just doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that we do our best to meet our promises to the people who we've made promises to and to help people in need.
Well, Eric Cantor was recently on Wall Street before the group of speculators who have run up the price of oil and gas, promising that he if they got back in 2012, took over the presidency and the Senate and had the trifecta, that they would eviscerate further the Commodities and Futures Trading Commission. But just back to the economic hostage crisis going on here in Washington D.C. I take it that many people feel, and perhaps you do too, Congressman Grayson, that the worst thing that could happen is that the president agrees to what he's apparently put on the table.
Well, I don't think the president should have ever put on the table any cuts in benefits for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. That's why we created our website, nocuts.com, no-cuts.com, to invite people to sign our petition. And I will take it to the White House if we get 100,000 signatures. And being a former member of Congress, I can probably get in. But the fact is that it's utterly misguided. And I can't fathom the delight that some people on the right seem to have in hurting people who need help. There is no rational reason to cut benefits here. If you actually wanted to make sure that the system continued to bring in more than it pays out, which it's done for over 70 years, every single year for over 70 years, there's all sorts of ways to accomplish that. But bear in mind, the system is currently solvent through 2037. I'm not probably going to live until 2037. And many of the people I know are not going to be alive in the year 2037. So
well,
if it starts to run a deficit in the year 2037, I think we have more pressing problems to deal with. But there's almost a sadistic element to the right wing's fascination with cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare, cutting Medicaid. They really want to hurt the people who need the help the most.
Well, it's particularly galling, though, Congressman Grayson, that some of these people. I saw an ad with Mike Huckabee, apparently an overtly religious man who was a preacher in one of his incarnations. And I don't understand how people who advertise themselves as Christians could be go against the teaching of the prophet Jesus, who ministered to the poor, the sick, and he didn't hate homosexuals, carry an assault rifle, ask poor people for money, and go on television shaking down everybody. I mean, why not call these people on their so-called Christian family values?
Well, I think we should. I mean, I feel that the decisions that I make are rooted in a 3,000-year-old tradition. The decisions that I make are ones where we try to shelter the homeless and feed the hungry and heal the sick. That's the whole point of it all, to help the people who are facing problems that are just too big for them to solve themselves. If you have one person who's unemployed, maybe that one person can find a job. If you have 23 million people who are unemployed, there's no way they can all find a job without some kind of help. It's just not possible. And over again, people are put into the meat grinder that we've created, this unbridled capitalistic system that destroys people's lives time and time again by promoting a war of all against all. That's where we are right now, and that's where the right wing wants to push us even further into the clutches of a system that just doesn't give a damn about any of us except to the extent that we provide cheap labor.
And in the case of that I referred to with Huckabee, he was in a commercial telling people to vote down or to repeal what he calls Obamacare. So it's not just that they want to deny people; they want to actually take away the little gains that have been made. So it is a battle, and I do hope people are on the left in this country join the battle and don't abdicate. I thank you for joining us today, Congressman Alan Grayson.
You're welcome. We've had a lot of people come to our website, congressmanwithguts.com, and join that battle. We had over 80,000 contributors in the last campaign, the largest number in the entire Democratic Party. And if people sign up for emails, help the campaign through contributing or volunteering, then they're doing something good and showing that they care and that they're involved. They're showing that they have both a head and a heart.
Again, I've been speaking with Congressman Alan Grayson. He has a petition out now at no-cuts.com. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we began with a Norwegian cultural anthropologist, Dr. Tuna Bringa, to try and find out how this country that's kind of a model for its tolerance and social peace and cohesion could have become the site of such a callous and hideous slaughter. But she pointed out very quickly that she didn't think for 1 minute that this was an Islamic terrorist plot, because she knew from the island where it took place that it was a youth labor camp from the ruling Labor Party, and that there's a history, anybody in Norway would know, that during World War II, the right wing allied themselves with the Nazi occupiers, thus the famous Quisling, and that after the war, the Labor Party created the modern social democracy, and that anybody that was a right winger in that country would have been striking at the heart of the social democracy of Norway, and she immediately assumed that that's what it was. It was a local act of political terrorism, which it turned out to be. It was particularly moving that she should have talked to us because she spent a lot of time in the Balkans working with NGOs during the Bosnian War and was able to describe the results of that kind of hatred, where fear engenders hatred and leads to murder and mayhem. And then we continued the conversation with Dr. Thomas Hegghammer, as a former research fellow with the Norwegian Defense Research Establishment. I wanted to know from him how the mass murderer was able to kill so many people for so long, and where he got his weapons and the fertilizer to make the bombs. And he was able to answer all those questions, which, by the way, are on the manifesto that this fellow put up on the internet, the assassin. Apparently, he's done all the police legwork for them. He's described in huge detail how he planned and executed this mayhem. And then finally, we spoke with Congressman Alan Grayson, who is out to with a nationwide petition at no-cuts.com demanding that there be no cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Of course, we talked about what's the economic hostage crisis going on in Washington. And he is the leader of congressmen with guts, and he is a congressman with guts, and he spared no prisons and said it exactly what it is. A very inspiring conversation with Congressman Alan Grayson. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This has been Background Briefing. You can sign up for podcasts at ianmasters.com. I'll be back tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.